from News Radio WGNS, Rutherford County's most complete election coverage. Now, here's Brian Barrett.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to our final WGNS political forum today. This forum will involve members who are running for the 49th State House of Representatives. First, we welcome Republican incumbent Mike Sparks, who joins us in studio here this morning. Mike, good morning to you.
Thank you, Brian. Thanks for the invite.
Brandon Thomas is his Democratic challenger, and Brandon joins us this morning here as well. Brandon, good morning to you.
Good morning to you. Thanks for having me.
Very good to have you both here with us. We're going to start with each of you, just to kind of give you a rundown of the format. We'll start with each of you giving us about 2 minutes. It's your time, uninterrupted time. You can tell us about yourselves, why you're running for office, and things of that nature. And as the challenger, Brandon, we'll start with you, and then we'll let Mike in the closing, having the same wrap-up, we'll let him begin with it. So first of all, let's start with Brandon Thomas.
Hi, my name is Brandon Thomas. Thank you for WGNS having this. Thank you, Mike, for being out here with us today. I'm proud to be running to represent District 49. I'm Rutherford County, born and raised. I graduated from Smyrna High School and MTSU. While at MTSU, I was a student government senator. I worked with Middle Tennesseans for Religious Freedom, and I was the opinions editor of Sidelines, the student newspaper. Throughout all these things, the common theme is that I've always wanted to help people, to solve problems, and to make sure people's voices were heard. I passed a bill in the SGA that made MTSU's campus a more welcoming and inclusive environment. I worked alongside Murfreesboro's Muslim community to help secure them a place to worship. And as the Sidelines opinion editor, I made sure that a diverse voice, voices from all political sides were heard on my opinions page. Around this time last year, I actually headed to Iowa for a few months to work on an issue campaign leading up to the Iowa caucuses. We were asking voters for their views on increasing the minimum wage and making sure working families had access to quality, affordable health care, child care, and long-term elder care. I saw a lot of people struggling who weren't being heard. When I got back to Tennessee, I saw many of those same problems being faced by Tennesseans and working families who felt they weren't being represented. So, the next logical step, I decided to run for office. I'm running because I want to help build my community up instead of tearing folks down. There were too many bills last session that were solutions to problems that don't exist. I want to make sure that all residents of District 49 are being represented, not just some of them. We have folks going to Nashville thinking they just have to represent the people who voted for them, and that shouldn't be the case. Unfortunately, with the way our district's maps have been drawn, legislators can represent only some of their district and still get reelected. That's something I think we should change. But mostly, I'm running because I want to bring the volunteer spirit back to our state legislature. Tennessee is the volunteer state. I see that volunteer spirit every day in my friends, families, and neighbors, but I don't see enough at the Capitol. When they fail to address the issue that 260,000 of our neighbors, including 14,000 veterans, don't have access to health care, that wasn't the volunteer spirit. When they put off handling the Jeremy Durham issue, allowing him to go on victimizing women, that wasn't the volunteer spirit. Proposing so many bills targeting the LGBT community instead of trying to understand our LGBT friends, family, and neighbors, that's not the volunteer spirit. I think Tennessee deserves a legislature that does the right thing, the kind thing, the compassionate thing, even when it's difficult. So that's why I'm running for State House.
All right. That is Brandon Thomas, a Democrat running for the 49th State House of Representatives. Mike, to be fair, that was about 50 seconds over here, so we'll give you that same leeway. Okay. 2 minutes and 50 seconds is yours.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you, WGNS, Brian, and thank you, Brandon. And I wanted to thank Brandon, too. My stepfather's listening. He's been battling some illness. He's 88, Dr. William Chance. I think he's listening right now, and we've been having to care for him and my mother, who just got out of a nursing home. So we didn't get to do the League of Women Voters forum. So appreciate his kind words of the day in Sam Stockard's column. But I'm Mike Sparks. I represent the 49th District, born and raised in Smyrna, born at the old Seward Air Force Base. My father was World War II flew 24 bombing raids out of over Germany. Smyrna's dear to my heart, as well as Laverne and Rutherford County. Been married going on 28 years to basically my high school sweetheart. My wife was 15. I was 19. Own a business in Smyrna. Raised two sons, Preston and Peyton. Vice chairman of local government. Also serve on business utilities. My endorsements include the Home Builders NRA A rating. Received an endorsement for Rutherford County teachers 2 years ago. Among the Tennessee firefighters, received their endorsement. Big pro-life supporter, and I think I've been a different kind of Republican. You know, I took my opponent to lunch, Kent Coleman, after I won my election over Kent years ago. People thought I was crazy, but Kent gave me great advice. Sadly, Kent passed away about 4 months ago. Kent was a great, great guy, and I disagree with him on issues, but he was a good man. I was endorsed by the Democrat chairman who worked against me, so I think my actions have spoke volumes, or at least I'd like to think they have. Here recently, I even stood with a black caucus, and you might think, what's a white Republican stand with a black caucus for? But I didn't think it was right when those kids in Murfreesboro were arrested and handcuffed. I thought there was a better way we can handle these situations. Well, I wasn't alone in that, because so did the DA. You know, they didn't go after that issue. But I was glad I stood with a black caucus, because now I can talk about issues that not only affect. And I like what Brandon said, because there's a lot of areas that do need to be covered. The fatherless is a big issue that has a strong correlation to violent crime, to drug addiction, to homelessness. And I think we've got to rethink some of the areas we've been doing as a society, whether it's the PCC situation, incarcerating folks. Some of our laws, I think, need to be reformed. You know, the drug problem. I don't think you can incarcerate and legislate your way out of problems.
And we've got Republican incumbent Mike Sparks. That's who was speaking there. Democratic challenger Brandon Thomas joining us today. 49th State House of Representatives political forum here today. We do have a couple of people with questions already for you two. Let me kind of go over those particular rules before we get to our questions here this morning. We're going to have phoned in questions by our listeners. We can also have text questions, which I will read to you, and those come in to 615-893-1450. So listeners out there, your chance to question the candidates, 615-893-1450, either by phone or by text. We'll get as many of the text in as possible. We do have some questions that we would like to get to here as well. So that's kind of what we're going to do here this morning for the next hour or so until 10 o'clock here this morning. So let's take our first caller. If you'd like to answer the question, you can answer the question. If you don't want to answer the question, candidates, you don't have to answer the question. So let's grab our first call. Good morning, and welcome into our political forum.
Hey, good morning, and I want to thank both Brandon and Mark for spending time up there to communicate to the public their views, and I appreciate anybody that puts their name on the ballot. Mike Sparks has been my representative since the first time that he ran, so I appreciate Mike and Brandon. Welcome to the world of politics and public service, and I appreciate you both. Mike, you have going to be faced, if you're reelected, and Brandon, if you're elected, you're going to be faced with some monumental challenges, and one of them is deciding about the marijuana laws that have already been announced that they're going to be a part of the agenda for next year. So if you would, spend a moment or two giving me your points of view on that, and I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. So we're talking about the decriminalization of marijuana, an issue that I'm sure that will kind of lead us into other drug issues that may be taken up, and some opinions on that. So who would like to start?
Sure, I'll definitely go. I believe that we need to reform our drug law on marijuana. I appreciate what Davidson County did. They decriminalized it, but gave police officers the ability to to determine whether or not they want to enforce that particular part of the law. I believe it's time for us to decriminalize. I believe that medical marijuana, we really need to look into that because we have a lot of people hurting. And I think there's different things we can do with that, and it's time for us to get on the ball about that.
All right. That was Brandon Thomas.
Yeah. Mike. Well, you know, and I appreciate Mr. Lyle's question there. You know, it's a tough issue. Drug addiction is an illness. I think part of me wants to feel like, you know, marijuana is a gateway drug. Part of me, I don't know, you know. I know we have a prescription drug epidemic across the state, and it's not just me saying this. Governor Haslam says it too, and I think the governor gets these things, but I think it's an issue that we're going to face this next session. I was on Open Line Channel 5 about 4 years ago debating Democrat Sherry Jones about medical marijuana, and I predicted that in the next 4 to 5 years, a Republican will carry the bill. I didn't think it'd be me. But I mentioned my stepfather who's listening. I don't think my stepfather, Dr. William Chance, would, I don't think he'd have a problem me sharing this. He might scold me when I get home. But my stepfather was a state investigator for 25 years. He's a pharmacist. Opened the first Walgreens in 1955 outside of the downtown one. And in fact, he worked midnight. The Nashville Banner put him in the Tennessee, and he worked midnight Christmas Eve. And I asked my stepfather, I said, what do you think about this? And it was probably 2 or 3 years ago. And he says, Mike, I remember dispensing medical marijuana. And I was like, he said, I don't have a problem with it. Now, I may get in trouble when I get back. But I really was like, wow, I was shocked when he said that. You know, when I see the violent crime that's committed, you know, I don't see it among marijuana. I do think that we need to have some reforms. I do think we need to spend more investing in treatment. I don't want to encourage the use of marijuana by no means. I was in Colorado last year, and I had run into a relative of mine who's from Scotland. My mom's from Scotland, and he had long hair. First time I ever got to meet the guy, and I asked him about marijuana, and he says, and I was shocked what he said. He says, because remember, there's recreation. They approved recreational marijuana in Colorado, and I said, what are your thoughts? Remember, this long hair hippie guy looked like he's out of the movie Braveheart, got that strong Scottish accent. He says, I'm not for it. And he says, we got all these young people moving over here that's smoking pot, that's abusing this. He said, and they can't find jobs. They don't have no place to live. I know Colorado has probably millions of dollars in the tax coffers, but what is it going to cost them with the correlation to other problems that marijuana is going to bring? I think prescription drugs and alcoholism is really worse than marijuana. That's me. Now, other people may not like what I have to say, but I don't think we need to encourage the use of pot. I mean, everyone that I don't know any marathon runners that smoke pot on a daily basis. I mean, they're lethargic. That's what one of the drug treatment centers, when I called out there, told me. They said, she just said, I see these young people. She said, they're couch potatoes now.
Let me ask this on top of that, because I think it's interesting that Brandon mentioned what Nashville, Metro Nashville government has done in terms of decriminalizing marijuana possession, at least in small part. Does that concern you as a legislator or someone running for the state legislature that we're seeing large cities changing their laws, which conflict with the laws of the state of Tennessee?
No, I think that this is their jurisdiction of how they want to handle marijuana. I think we should let our local governments do their thing. We shouldn't have state legislators threatening to take their funding away if they pass pieces of legislation that they don't like at the local level. And just kind of I know you said you didn't see any marathon runners smoking pot, but Michael Phelps won a lot of medals, and he's a avid pot smoker. I think that
is there another one? Can you name another one?
Well, I'm not a sports guy.
I mean, who's the number two? I mean, that's the ancillary. You know, you can find someone out there that can skew the numbers. But I'm telling you, all the experience I've had growing up in my 49 years, the guys and gals who used to just party all the time and smoke and pot. I mean, I know one guy. I didn't know him real good. He murdered his girlfriend. I know the mother. And it's sad because, and it's drug related. I do feel like marijuana is a drug. I do feel like it's a drug. Now, the medical aspect, I'm a little bit more open to the medical aspect.
Yeah, of course it's a drug. You know, correlation isn't causation. I think we need to say that then and there. There are other factors that could, you know, marijuana could just be a list of factors, so we just can't rule that out.
So, Mike, what about that?
What Metro?
You know, with Metro doing what they have, I hear Memphis is looking at doing something similar. So what does that mean? Does it mean that this is a message to state lawmakers, get on board, or we're going to move past you? Or what is that message to you?
Well, you know, Colorado's in conflict with the federal law now with recreational marijuana. You know, I appreciate anybody who will bring up the discussion. You know, a lot of folks, and I'll tell you, in my own party, I criticized my own party in a meeting the other day. A lot of Republicans and Democrats as well, I'll say half of them care, and I told the governor the same thing. I think half of them care, the other half don't care. The other half are busy fundraising. They're busy. It's like Congress is the same way. They're on the phone raising money, raising, you know, the state legislature probably raising thousands, and the Congress are raising millions, and are they really talking about the issue? So I applaud any councilman, whether it's Sherry Jones, who I get along great with. She voted on my In God We Trust bill, which I had every Democrat and Republican vote with me on. I get along fine with Democrats in Nashville. I just happen to disagree with them on a lot of issues. But when you look at the incarceration problem and our society, even heard Ernest Mayor Burgess mention some of this, and I really applauded him for talking about this. We've got to rethink what we're doing as a culture. I don't think we give up our values or principles, but I, you know, if you've got pull somebody over and they've got a little pot on them, do you want to get them brought up in the system, and then all of a sudden it's boom, 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 and these things are piling on them, whether it's fines and fees with probation or court fees, and then they have a hard time finding a job, they can't pay these fees. It just seems like we need to rethink what we're doing. The medical marijuana, it's going to be discussed next session, no doubt.
That is Republican Mike Sparks. He is the incumbent in the 49th State House District. We have Democrat Brandon Thomas joining us as well. Had someone on the line for long enough for it to blink really fast. So that they've been on hold here for a while. So let's get to another question here on our political forum. Thanks for holding with us. What's your question?
Yes, I'm Euless Stevens, and Mike Sparks, I know you were recently named as one of the top conservatives, but can't remember what group it was. And I want to thank you for watching out for the taxpayers' money, and I want to thank you for speaking honestly and for being a Christian. And I'll hang up and listen. Thank you.
All right. Well, that was more of a comment versus question, but appreciate that. Anybody here want to speak to the caller there?
Well, I know who that caller is, and I appreciate the kind words. That lady will let me know her opinion real quick. We don't always agree on issues, that's for sure. But, you know, I was recently awarded, I guess it'd be one of the top conservatives in the state, as well as some others. But I want to thank one of my comrades, Senator Thelma Harper, of all people, who was the highest. It was kind of odd. The highest rated Democrat with that award by the American Conservative Union. It's interesting, but you know who scored high, who scored low. But I feel like I'm very compassionate, and I look at the issues that Christ would talk about. And going back with Brandon's introduction, you know, I always try to feel, you know, Jesus talked about how you treat the least of these, you've done it unto me. I've got some Muslim friends today that are helping me with my sister's car. She had a wreck the other day. Now, they're Kurdish, and they're over their people are fighting ISIS. We've had some great discussions. I've talked about Christ to them, and they've never had a problem with it. But these guys grew up in a concentration camp, and it's really sad. So, you know, I just look back at what Jesus talked about, and I try to bring that to the General Assembly.
Yeah, I think that, you know, in terms of taxes, we really need to look into that. You know, if I get elected, I'm definitely going to be wary of raising any type of tax. I'm a working class person living paycheck to paycheck. And, you know, that tax could be the difference between paying the light bill, getting gas, or, you know, not even be able to get to work because the traffic's so bad. So, you know, I think, you know, there are different types of compassion for different types of people. You know, Mike Spark looks towards faith, and, you know, that's great. You know, I look towards how people are being affected in society at large and what we can do to make things better.
We're going to talk about taxes in a moment, because that is something that a state lawmaker has to deal with every year, and looking at a budget. We do have another call here I'd like to get to this morning. Welcome in to our political forum with State Representative Mike Sparks and Challenger Brandon Thomas.
Is this me?
That's you, yes, sir.
Oh, okay. Okay. I'm a veteran. I served in the 70s. Born and raised in Murfreesboro, Tennessee, and I've been here other than the time I was in the service. My question is that I'm also a retiree at this time. Taxes keep going up, whether it's local property tax or state tax or gas tax, food tax, all these taxes we have. As a representative of the state of Tennessee, is there any way that we could relieve the pressure of taxes on the senior citizens that are struggling with medicine and medical care going up? And also, is there another question, is you think that maybe we ought to do away with the bipartisan Democrat Republican parties in the state of Tennessee? Maybe we can be a first state of Tennessee to not have a title and let people run on their merits. That's my question. There's two questions there. I appreciate your comments, sir.
We'll take a look at both of those. First, because I'd like to lead into from the senior tax relief question to another. Let's tackle the that question about no political parties and just running on your own merit. Anybody who want to take that?
Well, you know, I think that is a plausible idea. I think what we really need to focus on, however, is ballot access. I think we should be able, it shouldn't just be me and Mike up here running for this office. There should be a constitutional party. There should be a libertarian party. There should be a Green Party candidate running for this spot as well. And that's due to ballot access. So I think you have a ballot access issue. You have a redistricting issue. I believe that our district should be drawn by an independent commission that Republicans, Democrats, and independents can agree upon. And I think that's where some of your problem is coming into.
Mike?
Well, you know, I'm reminded about what Ronald Reagan said. You know, he used to be a Democrat at one time, but I like a quote he said. He said, if I find someone agrees with me 80% of the time, that's an 80% friend, not a 20% traitor. You know, ironically enough, Brandon and I probably agree on 80%. If you really get down to the issues, the problem is we may disagree on one or two issues, and that becomes so divisive that you and I can't have a discussion about clean water or the landfill that has 6 years in Rutherford County, which is going to be a serious, serious issue facing Rutherford County and facing Middle Tennessee. I'm also reminded of another quote by Abraham Lincoln, a Republican, not trying to be partisan, but he said, "Don't I conquer my enemies by making friends of them?" And another Republican was Dr. King, who I have a lot of respect for. He said, "Our lives begin to end when we become silent about the things that matter." These issues that I talk about matter, whether it's drug addiction, incarceration, you know, even recycling that most Republicans don't talk about. I worry about this landfill because we're down, Smyrna and Laverne is downstream. We get our drinking water coming through that river, you know, Stones River and the lake right there. But, you know, the Constitution should matter to all of us, both Republican and Democrat, freedom of religion, Second Amendment, all those issues. They're not Democrat, Republican. So we get mixed up in this. I kind of agree with the caller in a sense. I look at myself as a conservative, as a Christian conservative. I get disappointed with my own party. I ain't afraid to say it. Half your Republicans care, half of them don't. You got to figure out which ones care.
Senior tax relief, the caller was asking about that. In a year where, and this is something that I'm going to get to after you talk about senior tax relief, in a year where we may have a state legislature that looks at an internet sales tax and also a gas tax increase. So who would like to talk about senior tax relief?
Yeah, I believe that we need to figure out ways we can help our seniors. They're living on a fixed income. There are definitely things that we can look into. I believe healthcare is one of those things. We should have passed healthcare reform 2 years ago, 3 years ago, when it first came up. There's no reason why we shouldn't have. If you're working right now, you're paying into a system you can't opt into. So I think healthcare is a big issue. I think that's one of the big things. I think we need to give some type of relief to our seniors who are living on fixed income, whether that is tax relief in terms of buying food or what have you. But we definitely need to look into that.
That is Brandon Thomas, Mike Sparks.
Well, we do have senior tax relief that's in place. Unfortunately, a lot of folks, their income is a little higher. Like my folks, they're a little higher. Believe me, I hear it from my mother, who's probably pretty conservative, but she's from Scotland, so they grew up poor, very thrifty and frugal. There is senior tax relief, but this is, I'm looking at our budget, it's $34.9 billion with a B. Local revenue, local governments, they're having a tough time. The county commission, we're building schools. Smyrna, they would like more revenue. I'd like more revenue at home, but it's difficult. I've got to manage what I've got. The state of Tennessee, I think, does manage the best of their ability. Going back on a gas tax, I feel like there's going to be a push by the Haslam administration this next session. There's good arguments for a gas tax, good arguments, and I think there's good arguments against it. I've often said I don't plan on voting for a gas tax. I believe we need to manage what we've got. But I've seen the hypocrisy, and I'll say it again, I've seen the hypocrisy with government. I'm willing to debate anybody, anywhere, my own members of my own party. My first bill was freezing the sheriff and the mayor's pay raise. A lot of these folks got a $10,000 pay raise. People don't know this. It's an unfunded state mandate. They've done this under the cloak at the legislature about 8 years ago before I got up there. Saving $2.6 million. Well, I couldn't get the guy working at Solid Waste. I had to fight to get him a quarter, a pittance, and those guys use an outhouse for a bathroom. You go recycle today, go over to the landfill today or Saturday, and you'll see them guys use an outhouse. Why do we accept that? You know, I happen to care about that. I think if you run for office, you're making $120,000. You don't deserve a $10,000 pay raise. Whether you run for office, you're making $60,000. We need to manage what we've got, and I've seen the hypocrisy. I was at two TDOT meetings 2 weeks ago, and sitting in both of them, I probably spent 5 hours there, and they had this interactive survey where you could enter online with your phone. It was really, really pretty neat. And TDOT, they all got very satisfactory when it come to infrastructure in TDOT. Even the commissioner said, It's hard to go sell a gas tax when you get, I mean, they used to brag we're number one in infrastructure in the nation. They don't brag on that as much as they used to. Some say we're number two. We have no debt, which I applaud. I don't like driving in the traffic to Nashville, well, like some have to do. I think mass transit needs to be an issue. And
well, mass transit and highway funds, all of those things take money. And I think transportation and sales tax on items purchased online, they're going to be two of the hottest topics, probably along with the decriminalization of marijuana taken up in the state legislature. And the highway funds, apparently the governor says there is a $6 billion backlog in needed transportation projects, and the money's not there because, as Mike, you said, the state does not borrow money, and the gas tax has not increased since 1989, and you have an influx of electric vehicles on the road. So what is the answer there? Because everyone wants a more efficient way to get to work, but how do you pay for that? Anybody like to tackle that?
I'm one of those people that I actually work in Donelson, so I'm going from Smyrna to Donelson, and there's a certain part of I-24 you hit every single... So predictable. It's congested.
Yeah.
There's you just got to wait.
You
it
know
out.
It's coming.
Yeah, you know it's coming. Yeah, and in some days are worse than others. And you know, not too long ago, I was going all the way to Green Hills, and that was a nightmare. I believe that we need public transit. It needs to happen. We have a historic budget, historic surplus that we could probably use some of that money for. We can definitely figure out what's going on. I would like to listen to TDOT and see what things they think the money should go to, how to allocate that money, and what we can do. But mass transit, I believe, is one of the biggest things we need to focus on, other than the gas tax. We have Nashville's growing. We have, 70-something people a day moving into the greater Nashville area. And when they get here, one of the things I always hear is, oh, you got to drive everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, and I lived in Baltimore for about 2 years, went to Towson for graduate school. And it was pretty convenient to have a light rail, to have a bus system. It didn't always work. There was definitely some things that, you know, could have been improved upon. But at least it was there, because I'd actually had wrecked my car. So I was without a car in a place I was never lived before, shortly after. But luckily there was a transit system. There was a safety net, if you will, out there to help me to get to work. So I think that's something personally, that's my passion. I think that's what we should really be focusing on. Where the money comes from, I think we that's a larger discussion. I don't want to try to get into hypotheticals on that one. But yeah, I think mass transit is where it's at. In the next 10 years, we need to move on that.
Yeah. Well, we pay 39.8 cents per gallon in taxes now. What I was talking about, there are some merits to a gas tax increase. I know people may not like me saying that. But I know a Ford F-150, I think the stats were you pay $3.95 a year in gas tax if you're driving a
$395.
That's what okay. I had read, and then say a Toyota Camry or an Altima, you're probably paying about $195 to $200 a year for towards the gas tax. Where it's costing more per mile to pave some of these roads, and these cars are getting, you know, we used to average probably 20 miles a gallon 20 years ago, maybe 22. Now some cars are averaging, you know, 40 miles a gallon. And they don't have as much revenue. So I give TDOT, I kind of understand their plight, but I think going back, this is all the more reason to manage what you got, like that caller said, talking about medicine, talk about affordable housing, talking about inflation. You know, I called my insurance company today because our business insurance went up, and it went up about $150 and about $90. He said, "Well, that's not that bad. I mean, that's 10%. That's 10% it went up." He said, "Well, that's over a 3-year period." I'm like, "Still, it's 10%. You know, and he said, "Well, your homeowners has stayed the same. And the good thing about getting older, Brian, is your car insurance goes down." You know what I mean? But these are tough issues. We took in a homeless guy when I first got elected. He was out there hanging out. My assistant wanted to pay for him a hotel room. And he was a Navy veteran, fell on some hard times. And he ended up moving to Seattle. And in fact, my little intern let him stay with him for about 2 months. And it's a sad story, but the nice outcome was his parents paid for him to fly out to Seattle, and he moved out there because of the mass transit. His car broke down. He just had a cycle of events and he wasn't, this wasn't some, you know, he wasn't on drugs. He wasn't a bum. He was dating a girl at the, that her dad was a attorney, Walter Langston. But I was proud of my assistant, Lori Bernard, who had the compassion to try to help him. But, you know, Malik that works at Motlow, I shot a little video. You can go see it on YouTube. If you type in Motlow College, probably Mike Sparks. And that young man was walking from the McDonald's in Smyrna in front of Kmart all the way to Motlow every day for 2 years. Every day for 2 years. Had no ride or anything. No mass transit. And then RTA takes the bus stop out. People have probably heard me complain about this. They used to have a little bus stop with a cover over it. And it's not there anymore. I'm like, why'd you take it out? And they're like, they can't give me a reason. So it bothers me when we go ask for more money and we can't manage the little things. And maybe that's an issue, Brandon, you could help me with. Get that bus stop restored.
We have joining us here today on our political forum from the 49th State House of Representatives, incumbent Republican Mike Sparks, Democratic challenger Brandon Thomas. And this political forum is your chance to ask the candidates questions that concern you. I know we've got a couple of callers on hold here. We've got a couple of text time. I mean, we've gone like 30 minutes without a break. So let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll try to get a little more succinct in here. And I'm not going to let these guys get by without answering that question about internet sales tax. It's still out there. So we're going to talk about that when we come back.
Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare.
Therapy is wonderful. It's a wonderful place to be here in therapy because they work with you all the time.
Whether you need short-term care after an injury or an extended option for a parent, our facility offers physical, occupational, and speech therapists.
It has done wonders for me.
At Northside, they work to ensure that their residents receive the very best medical care possible. Get well, live well at Northside Healthcare on East MTCS Drive beside Middle Tennessee Christian School.
Let's go sell something. Comus Montgomery Realty and Auction Company has been in business for over 40 years. We are a family-owned company in our third generation located right here in Middle Tennessee. We specialize in online and live auction, residential, commercial, farmland, personal property, and more. Check out some of our upcoming auctions throughout Middle Tennessee.
Estate auction, three-bedroom, two-bath mobile home on 4.9 acres, located at 7068 Leanna Central Valley Road in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. The auction will be held on location Thursday evening, October 20th at 6 p.m. Estate Track, 2.95 acres in Triple Crown Farm Subdivision, located at 115 Triple Crown Drive in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Bid now online or on location Thursday evening, October 27th at 6 p.m.
If you would like your property marketed worldwide and sold quickly, give us a call today to book your auction. 615-895-0078 or see us on the web at comusmontgomery.com.
Hey, this is Allison from Bud's Tire Pros. Football, bonfires, and fall activities are in full swing. Let us get your vehicle ready for kickoff. Our team at Bud's Tire Pros will treat you like family, never pressure you, and get you in and out with plenty of time to head over to the game without sacking your wallet. Bud's Tire Pros carries a great selection of tire brands, including Michelin and BF Goodrich. For local service you can trust, visit Bud's Tire Pros in Murfreesboro or online at budstireprostn.com. We're at 3600 East Main Street, 3 miles from the town square.
Shop directly from your farmer at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Open each Tuesday and Friday from 7 a.m. until noon at the Lane Agri Park. Shop for fresh produce, eggs, honey, and more.
Rover buses run every hour during the market and drop you right off at the door. With a free transfer from the Gateway Route to the new West Side Loop, getting local foods has never been easier.
Meet your farmer and your neighbor at the Rutherford County Farmers Market. Tuesdays and Fridays, 7 a.m. until noon at the Lane Agri Park, down from Sam's.
Weatherwise.
We'll see mostly sunny skies here this afternoon, high into the upper 80s, and winds out of the southwest around 5 to 10. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki on News Radio WGNS. Right now, 72.
Premier Six Theater on Broad and Jackson Heights, showing all of your favorite movies. Call their hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Popcorn pop fresh daily. Their movie hotline, 896-4100, or go seeamovie.com. Premier Six on Broad and Jackson Heights.
From News Radio WGNS, Rutherford County's most complete election coverage. Now, here's Brian Barrett.
Our political forum continues with those running for the 49th State House of Representatives. Incumbent Republican Mike Sparks and Democratic challenger Brandon Thomas are here with us. Just to comment, and if you don't want to answer any of these questions, obviously that's part of it as well. We'll just move along. But I did mention trying to group everything together, internet sales tax, and it looks like this may be one of those. The problem, I think, is that in 1990, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that merchants, online merchants, did not have to charge a state sales tax unless they had a brick-and-mortar presence in a particular state. And if there's no sales tax on items, the same item I might buy in a store, the state does not get money, and there's a big lose out there for the state. So where do you stand on internet sales tax, and if any one of you would like to tackle that?
Well, Brandon, I remember when the internet kind of became a thing, buying stuff online, and there was no tax whatsoever. If the company didn't have a physical location in the state of Tennessee, and I really miss those days a little bit. But I definitely understand the need for revenue. So it's one of those issues where, you know, as a consumer, you know, the advantage of buying online is, you know, there's not a sales tax. But, you know, as But what's good for our state is, I think, is what we ultimately need to think about.
It's about $400 million estimated by the, you know, some state folks. I'm not sure exactly who, but that's a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, just off the air, Brandon and I were talking about transportation and, you know, to Motlow College, for example, from the bus stop. And he had a good idea about the Uber and Lyft. And times are changing. You know, more people are buying online. I pay sales tax on books now. You know, if I ordered something, I'm paying sales tax now online. But the state, you know, we have reduced taxes, the hall income tax, tax on food. I really wish we could reduce it more on necessities, you know, whether it's bread, milk, and things like, and just take it off. Now, every time you lower it, just any small percentage, it has a huge fiscal note to it. The online taxes, I mean, to me, you know, you need to pay taxes. I mean, that's part of it. I don't know how much more we can continue to lower taxes. It sounds great politically. Me as a Republican, I could easily run on that. We're going to lower taxes and that. And we have lower taxes. But there gets a point of diminishing returns. Healthcare, you mentioned healthcare. It's a big issue. It costs state about $9 billion in healthcare costs right now. The voters I'm talking to, when I knock on their doors, they're concerned about their healthcare. They're concerned about the cost. I'm open to ideas how we can solve these problems. I don't know how we can get it right when it comes to technology, whether it's my Samsung Note 3 that Brian's going to say is outdated, or, you know, we've got drones that can deliver packages. We can be so state of the art today, but we can't solve these other problems. You know, when it comes to healthcare, I talked to somebody today, they're paying $1,500 a month in health insurance.
Well, just be glad you don't have one of those new Note Galaxy.
Yeah, really, I don't have that.
They're blowing up and on fire. I want to thank a couple of our callers here for hanging on through the break and being very patient. So let's go to Mr. Carpenter here on line three. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. Good morning to the candidates as well. When you first started, first off, Mr. Thomas, I know a lot of your friends and a lot of people that you went to school with, and anyway, I have not had anybody ever say one bad thing about you. They all say you're a stand-up guy. I appreciate you running, running against Mike. I'm actually a longtime friend of Mike's and known him all my life. And I'm gonna tell you, if anybody's got their interest at heart, it'd be Mike. I also believe if it's not fixed, you know, I mean, if it's not broke, don't fix it. But I had saw a post on Facebook, Mr. Thomas, that you had wrote, and you were kind of, to me, bashing Mike about supporting the Bible part, and then also, you know, more or less supporting the Christian values, Christian values being of the gay and lesbian community against it, kind of. And you were for all that stuff, and I was kind of wondering why. And then when you opened up with your statement, you had mentioned that you had supported the Muslim community trying to get themselves a place of worship. And it started making sense after I heard that, because you were against the Bible part, but you were for the Muslims. I saw that you denounced, wanted Mike to denounce Trump in the presidency. I don't think Mike's going to do that, because I sure don't think he's going to vote for Hillary. And let me tell you something about Mike. He's probably the biggest Democrat that's a conservative that there is, if that makes sense.
All right, Mark, what's your question here so we can move along? I've got another call here.
My question is, you know, Mike helped with the black community on a church that they were locked out in Laverne. And I was wondering why maybe Mr. Thomas didn't help with that church. Instead, he helped with the Muslims. Okay. They were locked out for over a year and a half, and Mike went to bat for them. And like I said, I just was wondering, you know, why is that?
All right, appreciate the phone call. A lot of things there, Brandon. Yeah. So we'll send it over to you.
Okay, yeah. Thank you for the kind words. I'm hearing that a lot about people saying, "Oh, you know, even I went to school with Mike's son, Preston." So that's good to hear. Maybe I can try to win his vote.
He did talk highly. He really did.
So in reference to some of those things, going on to the Laverne part, I can start there first. I personally wasn't aware of this church until I actually started running. I had a chance to sit down with one of the former mayors of Laverne, and they were telling me about this. This was like when, as soon as I got in their house, this was like the first issue they were talking about was this church and how, you know, there are some things that, you know, it's kind of like a whole big issue. But, you know, honestly, I did not know about that church. Mm-hmm. Had I did, I would definitely have did something, because I believe that everybody has the right to worship how they see fit. I believe the issue with the mosque was that they already had a place to worship. They were just expanding. And then it became, you know, well, there wasn't notice. Well, what are they going to do with the water? Well, this and that. And, you know, I felt very much that this was coded language to, and you got to remember, this was back in 2010. So this was back when the iron was hot to bash your Muslim brothers and sisters. This wasn't anything else. And so that's why I went to bat for them, because I am Christian. However, you know, when somebody needs help, I'll help them.
Mike, any comments?
Well, you know, I'm reminded of Voltaire's quote where he said, I may disagree with what you have to say, but I'll give my life to defend it. So I appreciate, Brandon speaking up for the mosque back then. I have seen some strange irony when the mosque comes through and no one questions it on planning, because I was on a planning committee for 9 years. You question plans. I mean, you asked about aesthetics, ingress, egress. You ask about detention ponds, adjacent property, you know, the impact adjacent property, sound, things like that. The Bible part comes through and all of a sudden it becomes controversial. And I think that's what my comment was on Facebook a few months ago. I'm just saying, why is this church in Laverne, this African-American church that a white church, by the way, built it, Giles Creek built that church with their labor. I mean, there's a documentary. I talked to a film producer the other day, All Saints Church. They filmed a movie over here, Sony Affirm Films did. And I was telling them, man, there's so much material in Rutherford County. I mean, an African-American church gets locked out. I wrote the NAACP, didn't hear anything back from the NAACP. ACLU didn't stick up for them. And you know who I got donate to them? Sons of Confederate Veterans. You think, what in the world? How would Sons of Confederate Veterans donate to them? I just asked them. I said, hey, and it wasn't a lot of money, but the pastor and the members were appreciative. That situation in Laverne, which I know, Brandon, you didn't, I mean, you really didn't know much about that, and I understand that. But our First Amendment rights, they have a right to worship. Government shouldn't impede their right to freely assemble. And this is what gets me upset with politics, is that I had to beg a reporter to do a story. But when I called the pastor about, I think it was 2 years ago, and in fact, I was on the General Assembly floor after me. I said, Pastor, what's the latest? He says, Representative Sparks, I think I'm going to just let it go. I said, let it go? Man, what do you mean? He was going to let it go. He may not like me saying it on the air, but he's ready to just throw the towel in. He said, I don't know what else to do. And just keep praying about it. And fortunately, Howard Wilson, judge, stepped in with an injunction. But the government now impeded their right to worship. So, you know, we worry about California and New York. Man, this stuff happens right here in Rutherford County.
Yeah, you know, I think that, you know, one of the big things from my understanding about this church, that there were a lot of regulations that they weren't following. There were some things of that nature that maybe they needed a little bit more guidance on. I don't think anybody was trying to keep this church from being built. I think there may have been some regulations that maybe some old regulations that need to be removed.
Well, the regulations is what stopped them. But this is what we've got to be careful of under our Constitution. You can invent laws that could impede people's rights, whether it's the right to freely assemble and worship. You can create regulation like that mosque. They could have put a lot of regulations on them that could have impeded them, or that Bible park. But bottom line, they were denied their right to freely worship. Fortunately, a Church of Christ next door let them worship. Remember, this is a Baptist church that was over there. But Giles Creek Baptist Church, thank God they stepped up to help them. But folks better wake up. Listeners, wake up. It ain't a Republican Democrat thing, any black or white thing or liberal conservative thing. This stuff happened in our community, folks. Wake up to what's going on, because you're going to look back one day and you're going to say, what happened? Because people were silent. These things, these little encroachments are slowly happening. And the Muslim friends, I've invited them to church. You know, now I don't know if they show up or not, but I've invited them, you know.
We have Republican Mike Sparks joining us. He is the incumbent in the 49th District. Challenger Brandon Thomas is here with us as well. We've got a couple of calls. Our time's running short. I've got a text. So we're going to do the best we can here to try to stay on task and get some good answers here. This is a text specifically to Brandon, and I'm just going to read it as it says here. Can Brandon explain why there are over 400 varieties of marijuana and what the THC levels in these different variations mean that is available at THR medical marijuana centers, and is this something he would like in his neighborhood?
Well, I'm not a wonk on strains of marijuana, so unfortunately, no, I cannot. However, I said I am supportive of medical marijuana. I am supportive of decriminalization. I am not supportive of recreational marijuana.
Okay.
No, I agree with you. You know,
okay.
That. On the medical marijuana, I'm open to the discussion. I'm open to it.
Okay.
And that's what I've told people.
Let's grab one more call. I want to ask, I got to slip in a personal question here because it's an interesting concept, and Nashville has gone through it, but I don't want to give any more away. I'll hold on to that one. Let's go to the phones. Welcome in to our political forum. Do you have a question?
Hello. Good morning, Jim.
Yes.
I got a question about the red light cameras. How y'all feel about the red light cameras in Murfreesboro, Tennessee?
The red light cameras in Murfreesboro. How did I know that one was going to come up? Anybody would like to tackle that?
I remember when those red light cameras were popping up. I was actually in college at the time at MTSU, I wasn't too appreciative of them. I believe that we should have local government determine those red light cameras. I understand the state has parameters in which these red light cameras can go up. At the end of the day, I think it's the people at the local government. If you don't want a red light camera in your neighborhood, you better go, contact your council person and let them know that.
Well, it's a hot topic, no doubt, on WGNS for sure. I don't have any red light cameras in the district. I've never got a ticket over there. I've drove through it hundreds of times. I don't like them. I think it's it gets on the verge of your civil liberties. If you don't run the red light, you're not going to get a ticket. I personally don't like them. We have made some reforms, especially with regard to the speed cameras over towards East Tennessee.
But there are none in your district.
No, there's not. I don't have a red light camera in my district.
And you got to think about the accuracy of those cameras, too, because you can be going the speed limit. And that was an issue in Baltimore when I was still in Baltimore. They have red light cameras there. Mm-hmm. And there were people contesting red light cameras because they were inaccurate. They were going under the speed limit and they were still getting tickets for them.
But ultimately, you believe that it should be the job of local government, not state government, to deal with that.
Yeah, I believe the state can set parameters, but I don't think the state should be saying there needs to be a red light camera here, there needs to be a red light camera there. That's local government.
All right. Let me ask this question here, and then we'll prepare for your closing arguments, if you will. I feel like we're in court today. Just your close here, and I'll give each of you a couple of minutes to do that. But one thing that is interesting in the world of my children, the internet is such a big player. Their phone is constantly on. They're on the computer. My son wants to be a graphic designer. And computers and internet are so important. And there has been some discussion about making broadband service more competitive with, you have a couple of big players and really one big player in Comcast or Xfinity and then AT&T, but here's Google Fiber trying to come into Nashville and running into some issues. And what brought this about in my mind is I got a questionnaire from Middle Tennessee Electric. And that questionnaire said, if we were to offer broadband service, you know, and ask some questions about that. So I think that's very interesting to consider broadband service and making it available in more rural areas. Would you be for this? Do you see the importance of it? Is it an importance? Or, you know, what are your opinions on that?
I believe it's very important. I actually work with a security, we do credit monitoring kind of firm, and we have our offline monitoring and online monitoring. Well, if there's something going on with your credit, you're going to want to know as soon as possible.
Sure.
But if you're living, you know, in a very rural area and you don't have access to internet, I believe the further you go out, you just have the satellite, and then that is a certain allotment of data, like you have an old cell phone, and then once you use that, you get throttled or something like that. That's an investment that we need to look into. You think of it with kids going to school, doing their schoolwork, that, you know, going to college, if, you know, you traveled like me from MTSU and didn't live on campus. But, you know, so I think it's an investment we definitely need to look into. I am supportive of competitiveness. I was really thrilled when AT&T, you know, got into the game and the state allowed that to happen. I think if AT&T and Comcast can't handle Google coming in, you know, then maybe we can, you know, maybe it's not, you know, we need competitiveness in our state. So I'm supportive of AT&T, Comcast, and Google Fiber, and more. There are a lot of local, even smaller internet companies that we never hear about because, you know, the big two gobble them up or make sure they don't have access to the poles. And we need to ensure that everybody has internet access. So that's how our country's going.
And one little caveat here, you know, I've heard people say it will be, and it is growing to be, just as important as supplying power and water to homes. I don't know if we're at that point yet, but I can see where we're rapidly getting close to that.
Well, you know, good answer. I mean, I want to compliment Brandon. That's a good answer. I mean, I believe in the free market and competition. My stepfather, I was sitting with him for a couple hours of the day, and he was, you know, he's laying in his, you know, hospital bed basically, and, you know, having a tough time, sadly, and he's paying, I think he told me he's paying $190. I'm like, for AT&T, I'm like, $190. I'm like, we need to rethink this. I mean, and start competition. Look at,
and then the modem. I had AT&T, and the modem's like $100 in and of itself. So it's like,
yeah, and it, but yeah. It's an issue. I'm on busy utilities, and that issue is going to become before our committee. I was with Commissioner Randy Boyd, who may be running for governor next year. Great guy, Commissioner of Economic Development. He talked about it at the rural agriculture meeting at Embassy Suites just last week. You know, if AT&T is not going into that marketplace, if Comcast is not going to that marketplace, going back to the analogy of the cooperatives, electric cooperatives, if someone's not going to provide that service, why not let those like the cooperatives provide? If they have the infrastructure in place, let them provide it, and maybe let them compete with the AT&T's and the Comcast. One point I wanted to make, we had a rep this year brought up before the committee. It was a simple resolution. And you would think, oh, resolution doesn't have any teeth in it or anything. It's not binding. But this is what I liked about it. It got the discussion going, just like some points that Brandon may bring up of mass transit or something. This rep brought it up, and I asked the rep, I said, and it was just going to be just everybody's going to vote for it and move on. And I said, hey, I said, hold on. I said, why is this important to you? And he had a big rural area. I don't have a lot of rural area, but I care about Memphis. I care about Bristol. I care about Tullahoma, Christiana, some of these other areas. I may not represent them, but I care about them. And the committee, I could watch the body language. Almost everybody was for it. A couple of people weren't for it. Today I'll be with AT&T. I think they're presenting a grant. In fact, I invited Brandon to come to Motlow. I don't know how much a grant is, but they're helping Motlow College. And this may be an issue that I know they're concerned about. The winds, I think, are blowing in the cooperative's favor right now. I've shared this with Chris Jones. If you're a listener and this concerns you, feel free to call my office, 741-6829. Let me know your thoughts. If Brandon wins this next election, let Brandon know. And I like you. I love the free market. We also need to bring that to education.
Let's get to our closing comments here. You're going to have a couple of minutes to wrap up here today, cover any issues you feel like maybe we didn't touch on that you want the voting public to know, anything you'd like to emphasize, and court the vote of members of the 49th District here in Rutherford County, which encompasses Smyrna, Laverne, and a portion of North Murfreesboro. We started with the opening with Brandon, so we'll give Mike, the Republican incumbent Mike Sparks, the chance to close here first.
Okay. Well, again, I'm Mike Sparks, married almost 28 years, born and raised in Smyrna. I do feel like I've been a different kind of Republican. You know, Sam Stockard, when I first got elected, gave me, I thought it was a nice article, called me a maverick and put me on the, I didn't know what he was doing, but, you know, he wanted to interview me. And he says, Sparks isn't afraid to gig the governor. I've went against the governor on a few occasions. Doesn't mean that I'm not supportive of the governor. I think the governor is doing great jobs when it comes to education reforms. I admire him in some other areas. But when it comes to, say, for example, the commissioner of education, Huffman, I signed a letter with 13, 14 other of my conservative members of our caucus. We're in the vast minority out of 70, I think, one at the time. Well, they didn't like it. They didn't like me going against them and calling for his commissioner of education to resign. Well, I had half my school superintendents across the state sign a letter of no confidence. I had TEA calling me. I had teachers calling me. I had school board members that didn't think that Commissioner Huffman was going in the right way. I think I proved myself as far as going against the grain sometimes, but I do it not for political votes. I do it because I care about these issues. You know, recently I stood with the Black Caucus. You think, why in the world would you stand with the Black Caucus? Are you crazy? Well, I care about civil liberties. I care about those issues. But I'm not afraid to challenge the NAACP. What are we doing for the fatherless? What are we doing to invest in communities to turn these young people's lives around? You know, I want to challenge the status quo in the system, not to be rebellious, but I want to challenge it. Like Brandon had a great idea about Uber. Is there other ways we can get the free market involved to keep costs down? You know, are some creative things that we can do? Drug addiction, the incarceration, we house more inmates than any nation on the face of the earth. It cost us $453 a day to incarcerate a juvenile. That's an issue I've been taking on with the Juvenile Justice Committee that Speaker Harwell put me on, that members of Republican Democrat Party both are on. It's something I wish reporters would look into. And I appreciate Brandon, very polite young man, and appreciate you stepping up to run for office too.
All right, Brandon Thomas, the Democratic challenger in the 49th State House of Representatives race. Your chance to close.
Thank you, Mike, for being here. Thank you, WGNS, for having this event. Today is early voting. It's the first day. Go out and vote. Whoever you vote for, go out and vote, because your vote does count. This is going to be a close election, especially at the local level. If you're not voting for whoever's on the top of the ticket, you can still vote for the people on the down ballot. So please go vote. I want to bring back the volunteer spirit to our state legislature. Like I said earlier, I believe that there are things that have gone by the wayside that people aren't focusing on, like infrastructure, like roadways. We need to invest in our future. We need representation from folks on younger folks like me. We need to invest in education, put money back in our classrooms. We need healthcare reform. We have a lot of people struggling. We have 14,000 veterans without healthcare coverage. They're in that healthcare gap. We need to build our community as a whole to work on these issues. So November 9th, whatever happens, we need to work together. Mike, if you win, I have 120 hours of PTO come January, and I'm going to be in your office
working
on issues.
Anytime, seriously, anytime.
So thank you so much for WGNS. Thank you, Mike. Thank you, everybody, and go vote.
All right. Thank you both for being here with us today. And as Brandon mentioned, today is the start of early voting. So get out and vote. If you missed any of the political forums with our state house or the state Senate seat of Jim Tracy, of course, that is up for re-election this time. If you missed any of the political forums, they're all online. That is with the exception of one of the races where both of the candidates did not show for their particular race, but you can listen back to all of those at WGNSradio.com, and we invite you to do so. My thanks again to Mike Sparks and to Brandon Thomas for joining us. This has been a WGNS Election Year Special.